Since the 2004 election, the Internal Revenue Service has investigated 60 churches to see whether their tax-exempt status should be revoked. Religion played a big role in the 2004 election, with ministers talking politics and politicians talking religion. It's illegal for a tax-exempt organization, such as a church, to endorse or criticize candidates. But as NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, the boundaries aren't always clear.
October 31st, 2004, 2 days before last year's presidential election. At All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena, California, guest preacher George Regas took to the pulpit. First, he issued a disclaimer. Christians could, in good conscience, he said, vote for either candidate. But then he was off. Regas described a hypothetical conversation between Jesus, President George Bush, and Senator John Kerry. He said Jesus' heart would break over the deaths in Iraq. Taking innocent lives, he said, goes against everything that Jesus taught.
And Jesus continues, Mr. President, your doctrine of preemptive war is a failed doctrine. Forcibly changing the regime of an enemy that posed no imminent threat has led to disaster.
Over and over again, Regas urged the congregation to vote their values when they went to the polls. And in doing so, the IRS says, the church may have broken the law. In June, it sent All Saints a letter saying it was beginning an investigation into whether that sermon constituted an illegal intervention in a political campaign. The letter went on to say the church could lose its tax-exempt status. Dozens of churches across the country have received similar letters since the 2004 campaign.
That's the kind of sermon we preach around here all the time.
Reverend Ed Bacon, the rector of All Saints, says the church has been an outspoken critic of every war since World War II. This one is no different.
This particular sermon and our stance as a church has been equally critical of Senator Kerry and also of the other Democrats who have not called for an end to this war. So by no means is that an anti-Bush statement. That's an anti-war statement.
Bacon says the IRS offered to drop the matter if the church would apologize and promise not to do it again. But instead, the church went public with the IRS letter. There's a principle involved, he says. Preachers must be free to proclaim their moral values.
That is what the prophets did for 3,000 years.
Yes, but the prophets didn't ask for a tax-exempt status.
That's a very good point. This is the U.S., and we have made a determination that in order to have religion flourish, we are going to give tax-exempt status.
But what Congress gives, the IRS can take away. Mark Everson, the commissioner of the IRS, says under IRS rules, churches and other tax-exempt groups can endorse or criticize policies, but not political candidates. He says he can't talk about specific cases, but his agency has received over 150 complaints from watchdog groups and citizens, far more than in past elections.
We stepped it up, and then when we saw what was, relatively speaking, an avalanche of complaints, we wanted to make sure we dealt with them on an expeditious basis.
To do that, Everson set up a group of senior auditors to look into these complaints. They sent letters to 130 nonprofits, including 60 churches. According to one former official, that's about three times the number of a decade ago. Churches were asked to give detailed answers to a long list of questions. If IRS investigators determined it was a one-time aberration, the investigation was closed. About half remain open. Everson adds, and the Inspector General's office backs him up, that these investigations are aimed not just at President Bush's critics, but at his supporters as well. It was July 4, 2004, and the choir at the massive First Baptist Church of Springdale, Arkansas, was in high gear, as was Pastor Ronnie Floyd. This would be one of the most critical elections in U.S. history, Floyd told the 14,000 worshipers, and the two candidates could not be more different.
One candidate believes that the United States is at war with terrorism. The other believes we are not in a war at all, but in a lawsuit. One candidate believes in the sanctity of an unborn life. The other believes in abortion on demand.
Robert Boston at Americans United for Separation of Church and State has seen the video. As Pastor Floyd warmed to his topic, Boston says, two pictures flashed up on a giant video screen.
And they had a huge patriotic photo of George Bush, and then this really tiny picture of John Kerry looking, you know, really sour and not very pleasant. And the whole sermon was basically why you should vote for George Bush.
After Americans United filed a complaint, the IRS sent Pastor Floyd a letter. He declined an interview, but his attorney, Matthew Staver at Liberty Counsel, says the minister was shocked and shaken that he may have crossed any IRS lines. Staver says the matter is nearly settled with the IRS, but he says letters of this kind frighten pastors away from speaking about events from a religious point of view.
The closer you get to the center of the worship service, or certainly messages from the pulpit, the closer I think you get to constitutional protections. I think this really is a free speech issue when the government begins to monitor what is said from the pulpit.
Staver says the IRS rules are fuzzy. It's not clear when a pastor's comments about a candidate's policies, which is legal, slip into an implied endorsement or criticism of a candidate, which is not. Nonsense, says Robert Boston. The rules are quite clear. Say a conservative pastor opposes abortion. He can talk about it in the pulpit, mobilize his worshipers, even petition Congress.
But if 2 weeks before the election, the pastor stands up and says, you know, President Bush is really opposed to legal abortion, and Senator Kerry, he favors that, and we need to stop legal abortion, and that's not issue advocacy anymore. That's advocating for the election of a certain candidate and the defeat of another.
Still, the IRS crackdown has some worried that the investigations will not stop at the pulpit. The IRS has sent letters to a seminary in Texas that hosted Jerry Falwell, and it's launched a full investigation into the NAACP for criticizing Bush administration policies. More than 100 members of Congress support a bill that would allow pastors to endorse candidates from the pulpit. IRS Commissioner Everson won't comment on the bill, but he says there are good reasons for patrolling charities.
Some could masquerade as charities or churches when their real goal is to be political actors. The one thing I think that we would all agree upon is that we don't want to see charities or churches becoming arms of the political process.
As long as the rules remain, he says, the IRS has no choice but to enforce them. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
You can read the original sermon that got George Regas and All Saints Church involved with the IRS at our website, npr.org.